There is an outpouring of condolences today from world capitals after the assassination of Shinzo Abe, the former Prime Minister of Japan. Abe was shot and killed during a campaign speech in Western Japan. Will Ripley is senior international correspondent at CNN. He has reported from Japan, and today he joins us from Taiwan. Will, thanks for staying up late to talk to us.
Hi there, Scott.
We know the former Prime Minister was shot multiple times at a campaign event. What more do we know about the shooting and the suspect?
Well, police raided the home of this 41-year-old unemployed alleged shooter. And what is so shocking is that, first of all, he used a gun. And in Japan, it is extraordinarily difficult to get a firearm legally. But he actually had several homemade pistol-like weapons, according to police, in his home.
Wow.
He also had, apparently, no remorse whatsoever, saying that he had hatred towards a certain group, which he thought the former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe was related to. Police didn't specify what group that was, but there are 90 police investigators working this case right now. And it's really, as you might imagine, in a country like Japan, it is almost indescribable how shocking this is, considering that in all of 2021, one person died in a gun-related fatality in a country with half the size population of the United States. You see five-year-olds taking the subway to and from school without any thought that they're going to be in any sort of trouble. That's in Tokyo, Japan's largest city. You can walk through the streets of any Japanese city at any hour of the day, and never once do you feel unsafe. If you leave your wallet or your cell phone in a taxi, they will drive back to your home if they know where you live and return it to you.
Yeah.
If you drop money, people will pick it up and give it back. That is the kind of society that Japan is. And there's just no fear of mass shootings. There's no rehearsals in schools, for what children should do if there's a shooting. So imagine trying to be a parent in Japan, sitting around the dinner table or the breakfast table, trying to explain to your children how, you know, perhaps the most famous and well-known and influential Japanese politician in our modern history was shot while giving a speech in the street. I mean, politicians like Shinzo Abe and all Japanese politicians are so used to being very close to their constituents, being able to interact with them, shake their hand, take a selfie. And one has to wonder now if there's going to be a societal change as a result of this.
Shinzo Abe was the Prime Minister of Japan twice, briefly in the mid-2000s, again from 2012 to 2020. So that's significant in Japan. That is a long stretch. What do you think about as far as his domestic accomplishments?
Well, yeah, he's Japan's longest serving prime minister. And a lot of people saw him when he dressed up like Super Mario to promote the Tokyo Olympics, which, you know, he really had hoped would be a pivotal moment for Japan in terms of its reintroduction to the world. He was elected back in 2012, less than a year after the disaster of March 11th, 2011. This was the Fukushima nuclear meltdown that was the result of a tsunami triggered by a massive earthquake. And that tragedy was devastating for Japan on multiple levels. Shinzo Abe, when he was elected, his slogan was Japan is back. And he worked towards this comeback. He wanted to revive the economy. And he was such a powerful figure that his economic policies were named after him, Abenomics. Did they succeed? He did drag Japan out of deflation, but yet still the economy continues to struggle with stagnation. Mm-hmm. And of course, the Olympics, which were supposed to bring in millions of tourists from all over the world, that never came to fruition either because of COVID-19 and having to hold the Olympics on a much smaller scale. So those were domestic goals, either unfulfilled or partially fulfilled. And then, of course, he never succeeded in rewriting the Japanese pacifist constitution to give the self-defense forces, which is what Japan calls its military, a more expansive role in global conflicts. But he still was a very vocal, even, you know, after stepping down, working, hitting the road for, you know, to campaign for other lawmakers, and also giving interviews in which he said that the United States should end the policy of strategic ambiguity about Taiwan. In other words, he thinks that the United States should speak up and say what it would do if China were to make a move on Taiwan. And he was a driving force behind Japanese officials saying that Japan would likely come to Taiwan's defense if there was some sort of an issue. Of course, also there's North Korea. You know, Japan sits, it has China, Russia, and North Korea, these nuclear-powered nations, just right at its doorstep. And it very much understood the importance of a strong alliance with the United States, no matter who was in office, frankly. And, you know, we all saw him and President Trump.
We remember him, right? Golf and cheeseburgers with President Trump and sushi with President Obama. They visited Pearl Harbor together.
And Hiroshima.
And Hiroshima. Before we leave you, what struck you about his personality. You talked about Mario already, but what do you think about as far as his person?
Well, he clearly had that ability to connect with people. And I think we saw that with the way he connected with President Obama and then President Trump. I mean, he was one of the first, if not the first world leader to congratulate President Trump after he was elected. And he was able to develop a connection and a relationship with Trump that few other world leaders really were able to attain. And as a result, President Trump would always answer the phone if Shinzo Abe was calling. And so he had a way of, on a person-to-person level, connecting. On a broader scale, he was one, you know, maybe the first or second Japanese prime minister that became a household name. There was a long period of stretch of time when, you know, people didn't really even, weren't really that much concerned about who was in the office of Japanese prime minister. And yet here we are now, countries around the world, condolences flying in because Shinzo Abe was out meeting with the leaders of those countries, trying to put Japan at the forefront of the global conversation. And so his legacy that he leaves behind is a much more international Japan. And he was the face of that for many years.
Will Ripley is senior international correspondent at CNN, talking about Shinzo Abe. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.